Ladies, you are not even ready for what today's episode is going to be. It is so much inspiration, so much juice, so many mic drop moments, so much gold today. You have to listen to the whole thing. So today I'm talking with financial coach to women, Sierra Roper. What can I say about her? She is amazing. She works with women on their money. Just like listen to the whole episode. She will explain everything to you. But I do want to give you some updates. So I know this episode is a week late. We didn't have an episode last week, and it's because last week I did a workshop. It was called Buying Your First Home with Confidence. I've talked about it. And so that was taking up my Wednesday last week. Oh my gosh, I finished that workshop on such a high, so high, vibrating off the energy from all of the women. Because of this, like, I don't just teach like dry real estate terms. Yes, I talk about like definitions and terms and concepts and steps and strategies, but I also give funny anecdotes, metaphors. It's all about femininity, my sass. I talk about inspiration, and there's a whole, like, throughout I weave in, like, buying real estate is not just a man's game. Women, we can do this. This is why we should do this. Women empowerment, women community. And by the end of all of my calls on in the academy, all the workshops that I do, any coaching calls that I have, like, the women are so inspired. We're just like all vibrating on a higher frequency. So I was really on a high last week from it. So that's why this episode is a little bit late. I really, really hope you enjoy it. And rate, review, subscribe, find me on Instagram, and enjoy. Welcome to the Real Estate Queens podcast, ladies. I'm Marina Schifferman, your real estate fairy godmother. And in these episodes, we are going to talk everything buying and owning real estate, confidence, money, so many juicy topics, and all the female empowerment vibes. Let's do it.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hello. How are you?
Good. It's so nice to finally see you again.
I know. I feel like it's been a while. Your lighting is so good in there.
I know. I do look pretty good. I do say so. I have a bunch of windows right here. Yeah. And it's like amazing.
No, I love it. I love it.
How have you been doing? Were you on vacation?
I was in LA for a few days, which was so nice and so refreshing. And it's just so good to like be with a group of girlfriends and get challenged on your career goals and your life goals and your health goals and just everything. So it was so good. And you were in Miami too. How was that?
Oh yeah. I was in Miami, but I totally feel you on the girls trip. I was in Miami like a few months ago on a girls trip, and the vibe on a girls trip is just so freeing and fun and energetic. Even when you're just chilling at your house, watching TV, like playing games, talking.
Yeah. No, it was so nice. And I also think too, I think with the pandemic, that definitely like got away from all of us, where we didn't see friends as much, or we were on Zoom or calling them, but it's so different to just be like chatting about life over a glass of wine and have someone be like, what is your life goal in the next 3 months? I'm like, I don't freaking know. But it's so good.
Yeah, it's different. Like, I'm so over Zoom sometimes when people are like, hey, do you want to have wine night over Zoom? I'm like, no, I'm good.
I feel the same way.
So. But I did just come back from Miami and it was amazing.
I love it. So what were you doing out there? Just for vacation?
It was for vacation. Every, like, when I'm feeling kind of stuck and unmotivated, the one thing that always without it fail gets me going is a change of scenery. Is the vacation, then the ideas flow, everything comes. And I need a vacation every 3 months.
I 100% agree. 100%. I think too, working from home, which I'm sure being a real estate agent, you've struggled with this for a while, but for me, the working from home situation is new. And so your creative juices aren't flowing. You're sitting in the same spot every day. And so I completely agree with you. Getting out is like so huge and so important.
Yeah. Like a big vacation every 3 months, but I'm like every weekend I need to go somewhere.
Exactly.
It helps the business. It's not like it helps the business. Every time I'm like out having fun, I'm like, ideas flow and juicy stuff comes. And anyway,
totally. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to have you on because you are an expert in women and money, and I want you to just shine your light on all of us today.
Thank you. And I so appreciate you having me, and just even following you for a while, I've learned so much from you in just a short amount of time. And so I really appreciate you just having me on. And I'm so excited to talk through this with you because I think buying real estate is really important for women in general, but also just women and money is a huge topic, and it has been talked about more, but it hasn't always been talked about. And so I'm excited just to get your perspective on it and talk through it all, because I think both of them are really important.
Sure. Let's have a conversation. Yeah. Let's start by you introducing yourself. What do you do? Who do you help? Everything.
Yeah. So my name is Sierra. I am a financial coach, and I really help women that are either in the corporate world and help women in the corporate world really understand how to manage and navigate their finances. And so a lot of times women in corporate in San Francisco are making a good chunk of money, but they do not know where to put that money. Are they paying off credit cards? Are they saving? Are they saving for their retirement? Are they putting it into a Roth IRA? And so oftentimes when people are younger working in the corporate world, they don't really know where to put their money. And so when they see actually, when they put together a budget and they're like, whoa, I could be saving $1,000 a month. I'm like, yes, you can buy a home, you can invest, you can build wealth, you could retire early. And so it's really shining light on people that are in that area of life that just don't know how much their money can do because they're not really understanding where they're putting in / how they're managing their money.
How do you make people see that? Do they have to like track everything? Because, or they're just like doing things blindly, and then once they start tracking and you help them, they see?
Yeah, so it depends. I mean, everyone manages their money a little bit differently. There are some people that come to me that have zero idea where their money is going, and that is totally okay. There's other people that have a really good idea where their money is going, but maybe they feel like they're living paycheck to paycheck because it's all going to credit card payments or to student loans or mortgages or whatever that looks like. And so it's really looking at their money from a strategic point of view and saying, maybe if, you know, we wiped out this credit card completely, that opens up $400 more in your budget that you can start to save or you can start to invest. And sometimes when you're looking at your money so like just you yourself and you're laser focused on it, sometimes you don't see the really simple like, oh shit, I didn't even think about that. Of course I could do that. Why wouldn't that work? And so it's really kind of helping them understand it from that perspective. And then it's also having them do an exercise where they look back and say, where am I spending my money? Is it on the things that I value? A lot of women say, well, I just go out to eat because my friends go out to eat. And I'm like, well, do you enjoy going out to eat? And they're like, no, I'd way rather like go to Berry's or go to yoga or do whatever. And I'm like, well, why aren't you putting your money there? And so oftentimes it's working through those societal things that we think are normal and breaking those down and saying, okay, where do you actually want to put your money so that it makes an impact on your life?
Totally. That's so powerful. Like, what do you actually want to do? We have to step back and we have to reflect and we have to think about it. Yeah. What's important to me? What kind of woman do I want to be? What does she do? Mm-hmm. And that's where you find out the value. So a lot of it, would you say that mindset is a big part of what you do as well?
Yeah, I do. I also think that, you know, we all take things from our childhood. We all, you know, I know for me personally, like my parents went through their own financial struggles, and I didn't even realize how much those were affecting me until I had a financial therapist be like, well, what do you think about that? And I'm like, that's interesting. And so I think mindset's a huge part of it. I think also, women operate differently than men in the sense of we crave security. We crave, you know, having that financial security. And so when we don't have that, we lean on other things to bring us that validation, whether it be, you know, impulsive shopping, whether it be, you know, whatever that looks like. And so we also have to, as women, look and take a step back and say, what brings me security? Is that an emergency fund? Is that having a credit card? Like, what is that for you? And I think it's just finding that in their own journey.
Oh my God. Holy shit. That was such a mic drop moment. That was a lot of amazingness. Like, women deep down crave security.
Yeah.
wow. And then it's deciding what is going to make you feel secure. It's not just any relationship. It's not him paying for everything. It's you, what's going to make you feel secure. Holy shit, that was amazing. That was brilliant.
Yeah, because I think it's, you know, for women, it's very different. And for some women, you know, I talk to them and they're like, I just want to get married and own a home and live my simple life. There's other women that are like, I want six figures in my checking account. And no client that I have is the same. No goal of them is the same. And so it's really, like you said, getting to know yourself and getting to know what you're passionate about. And I'm sure even like, I talk to people all the time that are like, I would love to own houses. And then they think it's a big, scary goal. And then I'm like, well, if you save $1,000 for a year and then you multiply that by 5 years, like you're 24, you could own a home by 30, no problem. And so it's really kind of having those conversations that make their dreams come to life in a weird way too.
Totally. And there's, everyone is entitled to their goals and their dreams and what they want, and nobody's wrong. Everyone needs to figure it out for themselves. And then you have a clear path. You're like, this is what I want. Now let's go do it.
And I think too, I think in the finance world, I think, and this is something that a lot, I see a lot of women struggle with all the time, is like keeping up with the Joneses and like the factor of, you know, and now, especially with people buying houses all the time, I feel like everyone I know is buying a house right now. I always talk to clients. I'm like, your time will come, whether it's in 6 months from now, whether it's in a year from now, whether it's in 5 years from now. Like, they don't get an award for getting to the finish line any sooner than you do. But it's just, it's allowing yourself to be in your journey with your own finances. And I tell people all the time, put your blinders on, because just because she looks like she's killing the game over there doesn't mean she totally is. And so I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to money, is owning your journey, owning what your story is, and then holding that power within you to let it be yours.
Really accepting yourself and it's your journey. What's like the biggest transformation that you see? What lights you up? What excites you about working with women?
Oh God, there's so many times I just got off the phone and cry because I'm like, how am I this grateful to do this? You know, I think that my absolute hands down favorite part is a lot of women come not knowing where their finances are going or not understanding how to manage it. And they feel so overwhelmed of like how to budget. What are these terms? Do I need a Roth IRA? What's a high yield savings account? And they come so overwhelmed. But when they actually just sit down and take it piece by piece and like really learn to digest it, like the confidence they gain in like 3 or 4 months, it just sets my soul on fire. Because truly, like the first month of doing the budget is so painful because they're like, how do I know what I'm putting here and what do I need to do? And then by the third month, they're like, oh, I already made it. Can you just go in and check it? And I'm like, yes, because it's like they finally understand like the power that they have of just managing their money. It just takes education to get them there.
Oh my gosh, I can totally relate to you. I just did a workshop today.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you how that went.
Amazing. I am on such a high from it because at the end of the workshop, the women are like so inspired and like, yes, women can do it, because it's not like I'm just like, this is what equity means. This is how you buy a home. It's like I'm telling women that we should do it, and the sass and the femininity and all this stuff. It's just, that's my favorite part, is just empowering the women.
100%. And I think too, like, and I'm sure you can relate, the second they get it and the second the light bulb goes off, they're unfreaking stoppable. It's just a matter of time to get them there. And to, and I think too, like the support, like I think we all like want to do our journeys on our own, and we're so afraid to ask for help, or we're so afraid to say, I don't get it, or I don't understand, or to invest in ourselves sometimes. And I hear it all the time. People are like, well, I could just Google this. And I'm like, yeah, you could Google it, but are you going to get it? Are you going to stick to it? Are you going to build habits? Are you going to shift your thinking? And 99% of the time it's no, because if they could Google it, they would have Googled it already. No offense. And I'm sure it's the same way for you.
Oh my gosh. Let's unpack that for sure. Because I think that as women who want to up-level their lives and who constantly just want to be better versions of themselves, we need to have a team of inspiring educational women to help us along the way. We cannot do it alone. No. There's things that we don't know about. Like, I don't know about all of the stuff that you know. I just opened a high yield savings account.
I love it. Nice.
And I can Google like all the stuff, but who's going to put it together for me? Who's going to be like, that's not for you. Okay, that's for you. This is what we should do. Who's going to help you along the way? I think a coach or a mentor that inspires and educates you, like us.
Yeah.
So vital, because like, who has the time? You want to be doing what you are good at, and then people do what they're good at, and we all come together and help each other grow.
Oh, totally. And I think of it sometimes even as like when I started my own business and I hired a business advisor, like I will never forget that moment where I was like, I could probably figure this out. And I was like, who am I kidding? Like I could just pay this girl to help me figure it out, to tell me the way. And I would way rather get through the forest on the other side than stop at every single tree and go, oh, is this the way? Is this the way? Is this the way?
And I think you don't know the right move. Like, I thought I knew everything about starting a business, but like, no, light bulb moments.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what you don't know, and the people know what they know. And I think for women, it's hard to ask for help and pay money on yourself because we have that confidence issue. You're like, who? I can't spend money on myself. Oh my God, $1,500, $3,000, that's like way too much. But like, don't you want to be a next level, high level woman? Mm-hmm. And like, doesn't she spend money on herself? Doesn't she up level?
Mm-hmm. No, it's so true. It's so true. And I think too, for me personally, speaking on my own self, I think too, we play small. We play ourselves small all the time. And I think when we take a step back and we actually ask ourselves, like, who is this year I want to be in 6 months, a year from now? Like, she's not playing small. And I think it's reminding ourselves every single day of that and waking up every single day and being, who do I want to be? What is the woman I want to be? And I tell myself this all the time. Like when clients are like, the budget just got overwhelming, I threw it out the window. I'm like, does she throw it out the window? Does the girl who wants to own a house in 6 months throw it out the window? No, she doesn't. She keeps going. And so I think it's reminding ourselves every time just the version of ourselves that we want to be and continuing to be that version.
That's so fucking powerful. Oh my God. This is like an inspirational talk right now.
Yeah, right. You are an inspirational talk. Every time I see you on Instagram, I'm like, can I just be her?
Oh my gosh. You can be my friend. You are my friend. Be your friend. Okay. I think we have to talk about like some actual money stuff right now.
Yeah.
So I guess walk me through what you teach in your program. Like what does every week look like? And then the importance of that, just kind of break it all down.
Yeah. So the program right now is about 3 months. I am potentially changing it to be 16 weeks, so like 4 months, but I haven't fully made that decision yet. To be honest, I love my clients. And I think the success, the transformation that happens between month 3 and month 4 are just so huge. So I think I'm going to make it a little bit longer. But beyond that, the first, I would say, two-ish weeks are really understanding where they are in their financial journey. And so they'll pull together a financial audit and roadmap and really set some goals and understand where they're actually at. Because oftentimes women are so afraid to look and they think they're in more debt than they are in, or they don't have more security than they have. And so it's oftentimes just getting them to look at the numbers is a really big challenge. So that's kind of like the first 2 weeks is really understanding where they are and where they want to go. The next 2 weeks are really building a budget that's going to work for them and talking through what do they value? What are the things that need to be in their budget? What does the budget look like for them? A lot of times, you know, people say, well, I tried Mint, I tried whatever, all these different apps. And then I'll ask them, are you an app person? They go, no, I love spreadsheets. And I'm like, well, why didn't you make your budget on a spreadsheet? And so it's really understanding who they are fundamentally as a person. What are the things they value? Do they value brunch with their friends? Do they value getting their nails done? And then taking what they value with their goals and building an aligned budget for them is really like kind of the next
step. Let's stop on budgeting. That's
yeah.
Super cool. So like basically what the F is budgeting?
Mm-hmm. Right, what the F is it? Budgeting is one of my favorite things, honestly. It is really taking your income, subtracting out your expenses, and you can either make it equal zero, which is what I tell a lot of my clients to do, because you want to have every single dollar have a place, have a value, give a purpose in its life. Or you can take your income minus your expenses and take that delta, whatever is left, and put that towards the goal that you are looking toward to accomplish the most. So for some people, it could be buying a home, it could be investing to hit their FIRE number, like whatever that looks like. And so budgeting is really the thing that I believe takes us from point A to point B. I hear a lot of people say all the time, well, I know what I get paid, I know what my rent or my mortgage is, and then I just spend the rest on my credit card, and then I just pay my credit card off in full every month. But when you think of it that way, you're actually not spending money in alignment with what is true to you and the goals that you want to accomplish. Because some people take a look at what they spend on brunch in San Francisco, and I'm like, well, you spent $1,000 last month. And they're like, there's no fucking way. And I'm like, no, but there is. Like, and so when we take the moment of like just swiping the credit card away and we actually put some like mindfulness to it, people actually hate the fact that they're spending that much on brunch. And they're like, well, I would way rather be taking that to a financial advisor and letting them invest it or buying a home or whatever that looks like. And so budgeting kind of gives you the opportunity to actually see, where is my money going? And do I actually want it to go in those places?
So do you budget after you've paid, or like, how do you do it? Do you sit down every month and prepare for the next?
So I budget on a monthly basis. So for October, like I sat down today, made my budget for October. So I'll look at all my income for October, what's coming from my business, what's coming from my full-time job, what's coming from wherever else I think I'm going to get money from. And then I'll put all of my income at the top. I'll subtract all of my expenses out. And then I budget mine to zero, because I want every single dollar to have a place in a home. And then I do the same thing on my business side. I do keep my business expenses separate though from my
personal. So you project how much money you think you're going to make. And for employees, like, you know, pretty much, but for entrepreneurs, you kind of
vault. Yep. So if you are like a salaried employee, you know your salary every single month, you're getting paid the same thing. It's a lot easier to budget. For people like you and I, where we don't have that stable income, or maybe we have a side hustle, or maybe we're doing real estate on the side and some months are higher than other months, you essentially want to budget to your lowest amount of income month. So you'll do your bare minimum, and then whatever is left over. If you make more that month, then you ask yourself, do I think I'm going to make more the next month, and can I spend what I made more, or do I need to put that more into savings to make sure that I'm covered for the next month, if that makes sense?
So you do this at the beginning of the month with a projection, mm-hmm. where you want everything to go, and then at the mm-hmm. end of the month, do you look back?
I tell my clients, look at their budget literally like every week, almost every day. And so if they're getting paid, so like, for example, let's say you budgeted for the month that you were going to make 10K. And let's say on October 15th, you actually sold another house and now you're going to get a large commission check. You would go in and update that budget reflecting on what you actually are going to get paid in October.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It's, I would say, honestly, like, once you get the hang of it, it is really easy. And that's why I said like that 3 to 4 month is really like that transition period where people really get it. And so that's why I am thinking of making the program to be 4 months, because I think it takes them 1 or 2 months to ramp up. The third month they got it. And then the fourth month I'm like, you just need one more month to do this and then you're going to get it completely. Like, so I do think.
Like starting a habit, like this is part of your routine. So you just need to make that habit. And then when they see the transformation, mm-hmm. probably so powerful.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 And I think for women in general, and I mean, all couples, I will say like, that's the hardest part is when one, if you're in a relationship, one is ready to budget and the other one is not. And so it's really kind of working through that whole situation. Are you married? Are you single? Are you living with them? You know, how do you split everything up? And it can be really complicated. And so I think for a lot of women, it's really overwhelming. So they'd rather just not look. And I always tell my clients, like, would you rather not look and just worry and be stressed the whole month, whether like debating on if you're going to make it or not? Or would you rather just take 5 minutes of pure anxiety and pull the numbers together and then be like, oh shit, I'm good. Like I can live the rest of the next 15 days, like really happy, really not worried. And so I always tell people like, that 5 minutes of courage can change their whole entire month.
Yeah, you just have to have courage. But also on the note of being married, mm-hmm. you absolutely have to have these discussions prior to marriage. Okay. When it's your boyfriend, it's your fiance, like money discussions. How much money do you make? How much money are you in debt? What are your goals? Can I see your bank account? Like, how do you budget? Like, we need to come up with a family budget all of that stuff is so important. And as women, we shouldn't shy away from it. Like,
no.
Come on. Like, women expect certain things. Like, I expect a certain level of financial security from my husband, and I didn't just spring that on him after we got married.
Yeah.
It was all talked about before, and how many kids he wanted, like everything.
Yeah.
That's like a whole other thing, but ladies, come on.
I know. It's so true. And I think too, I think from what I have seen in conversations, I think the biggest thing is doing it together. And I think a lot of people look back at their childhood. I know for me, like my parents fought about money so much. And so we go straight back to what our childhood was. And if your parents did talk about money, and if money was a healthy conversation, my clients don't even think about not bringing it up. They're like, oh, well, yeah, that's normal. But for the parents who fought around their kids with money, or they're maybe like, their mom hid bills from their dad, or was like, oh, well, I'll just give you $100, but don't tell your dad, or whatever it is. All of those things build up in a child's mind. And so then we take those into our adulthood with us. And so then immediately we're making budgets, and some people are like, oh, well, I just won't tell him I'm spending that. I'm like, no, we are telling him we're spending that. Like, that is happening. And so I think it's normalizing those conversations, but I think it's also taking the fear out of it, which can be really hard because you're rewiring a habit that they saw from childhood.
But it's just fear that you're making up in your head. Like, you can be fearful to talk to your husband about something, but actually the conversation goes so well, you feel so good afterwards.
I will never forget the first time I tried to bring up money with my partner, because my parents did not talk about money growing up. And if they did, it was like a total fight. And we just moved into San Francisco together. I will never forget it. And my rent was so high, and I was like living in good old Petaluma before. And I remember like buying paper towels and toilet paper and just the random stuff. And I was like, is he going to pay me for this? How do I bring it up? Like, are we splitting this stuff? Are we not? And it was such a simple conversation, but I dwelled on it for months. I was like, I'm just not going to say anything.
Months.
I was so resentful that I was like, you know what? He can just run out of toilet paper. Like, that's how strongly I felt about it. And I will never forget bringing it up to him. And he's like, yeah, just Venmo me. And that's literally how the conversation went. And I was like, well, what do I do in the future? He's like, just Venmo me. Like, he was like, the same way I Venmo you. Like, why would you not think about it? And it was so simple, but I think in our head we build up the conversation so much, and it can feel so fearful. And you know, we think, oh, what is she gonna say, he gonna say, what if he says this, or what if she says this, where it's like, take the story out of it, take the narrative out of it, and just go have the conversation, because it's going to be 10 times easier in the long run.
And staying true to what you actually want, mm-hmm. not what you think the other person wants.
Oh, that's a huge one.
Like, I know some women expect them to pay for the majority of things, but like, is that really what you want? Why do you want that? And if you're totally aligned with that, then you can communicate that easily. If it's not, then you gotta communicate it easily. But
yeah,
you can't lie to yourself.
Exactly.
If you're resentful, then you'll break up.
Totally. And I think the other thing is too, one of the things that we did with one of my clients is make, like, each of them had, I think it was like $100 or $150 or $200, whatever, a month to spend on whatever they wanted. And they couldn't ask each other what they spent that money on. And so she would get her nails done. She would buy a purse. She would do whatever she wanted with his money. He like golfed and did random stuff like that. But what allowed them to do was have autonomy in how they spent money, but be on the same page financially. And so you don't have to know every nickel and dime of what, oh, she went to Starbucks today. Oh, he went and got a Red Bull. Like, all of that stuff. You don't have to nickel and dime it all, but just being on the same page financially of like some sort of idea. And I think that also can really help people, because a lot of women are like, I don't want him to know I go to Starbucks every single day on my way to work. It's like, he doesn't have to know that, but just put it in the budget. Like, that's literally it. Just put it in the budget.
It's me time.
Exactly.
Another mic drop thing. Obviously this whole thing was gold, but also our childhood beliefs growing up. So I did a trauma healing around money.
I did. Yeah.
I invested in a life coach.
Yeah.
And she did that. Like, it was an exercise where you close your eyes and then you, what are the beliefs around money that you learned from your parents? I have immigrant parents that came from Ukraine.
Yeah.
And the money story that they had was like, the more you save, the scarce you are, the more you just don't spend, the more money you have. That's the more success you're going to have. Like, that's too expensive. Don't spend money on yourself. Don't get your nails done. Don't go on vacation. Don't do anything. Save, save, save. But I had to let that go because that's not my actual money story. And it's an actual like trauma healing session to let those go, because my story is the more money I spend, the more money I make, because it gives me happiness and freedom and inspiration. The money flows constantly. Holding on to it, scarcity mode is scarcity mindset. So yeah, I think having to heal our relationship with money, what we grew up thinking from our parents, like actually physically seeing that idea go and then bringing it there.
100%, 100%. And I also think too, a lot of our parents made choices, whether we were aligned with or not aligned with, and putting the boundary up that that was their choice, but that doesn't need to be your choice. And so, for example, like a lot of times when people, when they see their parents claim bankruptcy, they take on the belief of like, well, I'm going to claim bankruptcy. Like, I'm terrible at managing my money if my parents were terrible at managing my money. But it's like, when we separate their choices from actually your choices and what you can decide and what you believe, like a lot of times it is a limiting belief that they just carried because they thought they were terrible at managing money as well. When it is a limiting belief. We're not terrible at managing money. You just have to learn how to do it, if that makes sense.
And now we know that there's financial coaches like yourself out there to help us. We don't have to be overwhelmed and not know what to do and give up.
Yeah, exactly. That's the biggest thing I tell people all the time. And I will say this too. It's, you're going to hit your journey when you're ready to hit it. Like, I will never forget the day where I thought Dave Ramsey was going to solve my whole life. Little did I know, not anymore. But I remember it was probably 5 or 6 years ago when someone was like, oh, I just did Dave Ramsey's course. And I remember I added up all my debt and I was $58,000 in debt. And I thought that would be the moment of where my life changed. And to be really honest with you, I put myself in another like $16,000 worth of debt. And when I added it up and it was $70,000, I was like, what the fuck? Like, how did I get $70,000 worth of debt? And I didn't hit my breaking point of like, this needs to change. I need to change. I need to heal this until it was my time. And so I tell people all the time, like, it's okay if it's not your moment yet. Just try to be more mindful. Try to get there. Try to work towards it. Because I will say the people who I see have the biggest shift are the ones that are so frustrated, so burnt out, so tired of crying, so tired of living paycheck to paycheck, so tired of worrying about it, that they make that change. And other people are like, I'm over it, but it doesn't really bother me. And those are the people that get really stuck in continuing the same habits over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Gold. You need to have like an inspirational talk with you for sure. So let's move on. So, okay, budgeting is first, and then what do you work on?
After that, it's getting to know their numbers. What is your net worth? What's your credit score? What are all of those things that, you know, people don't really know how to look at? You know, a lot of times people will know their credit score, but they don't know what factors into their credit score. And so looking at all of those things, their net worth, what's holding you back from getting a higher net worth? What's your debt to income ratio? All of those like little numbers that nobody looks at that actually matter. We'll go through all of those. And then we talk through all the debt stuff. What is the debt repayment strategy that you're going to use to pay off some of your debt? What is the high interest debt that just needs to go? The credit cards, potentially car loans, all that kind of stuff. What's the lower interest debt that, like, no offense, it's not going to change if you don't do anything with it. Like, some people have huge debt, but it has 1% interest on it. It's like, let's not focus on that guy. Let's focus on the other ones. And so looking at all of that kind of stuff. And then we move on to savings, really what building an emergency fund, what does that look like? Sinking funds, which are my actual, they give me so much life. I can talk about those.
You're nerdy right now.
And then I'm trying to think, it's just habit stuff and some more mindset stuff along the way. But it's 12 modules. Every single week you get a new module to learn from, new homework assigned with it. And then you come to the call and we just coach it all out. Kind of how it goes.
Yeah, that's okay. So let's talk about credit, because this is a big cloud. how do you describe what credit is, credit score, credit history, what it is, why it's important, how do you build it up?
Yeah, so I'm a fan of like Credit Karma account, to be honest. That is the only one that I really recommend my clients to use. And you go on, you can see your credit score. There are certain things that pull into your credit score. A, the number of how long you've had a credit account open. B, your credit utilization rate. C, I'm trying to think, there's so many. I have them right here. Hold on, because I'm just talking to a client. I always get them so lost in my head. Hold on. I literally just sent them. Hold on.
We're holding.
Okay. Your payment history, credit utilization, the length of time that you have credit, the different types of credit that you have, new inquiries on your credit report, and then total balances and debt all pull into your credit score.
Love it.
And then to your other question, you know, really the biggest thing that I always say is that credit utilization rate is really what factors into most people's credit score that I see. So the biggest thing that I tell people, if you think about, I always use this example, if you have 10 credit cards and let's say the balance is all $10,000 on all of them, if you're carrying 8,000, 8,000, and 8,000 on each of them, you're over that 30% utilization rate on all of those credit cards. But what I see a lot of people do is they pay off the first credit card and they close the account. Your credit utilization didn't change because you've now just put $16,000 on $20,000 instead of having $16,000 on $30,000, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so you only want to spend 30% basically of what your limit is.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So if your limit is $10,000, you should really only be carrying a balance of like $3,000 on there.
Okay, and so knowing how much you spend every month is vital. So maybe you
mm-hmm. need to
credit cards.
And paying off the credit card every month is also a big one.
In full.
Mm-hmm. In full.
Totally. And what is your credit score? It just shows people how good of a borrower you are. You absolutely need it.
You need it. 100%. You need it. I also think too, there's a lot of times I always tell people, look at your credit score. Sometimes there's things on your credit report that aren't yours. And so they'll be dinged on a credit score for things that aren't theirs or for things that are in collections, but maybe they've paid them off. And so really taking a fine tooth comb to your credit report and saying, are all of these my accounts? Did I open all of these? Are these all paid off? Like I know a lot of times when people have things in collections, it can get stuck on there. And so really taking the time to clear up their credit report and like actually look at it, like, is all this mine on here?
So basically taking control of your life, looking into everything, don't let things just pass by or other people or just assume that it's fine. Actually like being an adult and like looking at everything.
100%. And I think too, it's taking ownership over your money. And that's, if you think about it too, like, we all have like our spiritual wellness, our health, spiritual, I mean, God, our spiritual wellness, our health and all that kind of stuff, wellness. And like your financial wellness plays a part in it. And so I always tell people when your finances are struggling, it is often because something else in your life is struggling. And so especially when people struggle with boundaries, they struggle with debt. And so if you're someone that says yes to everything all the time, you have a hard time saying no, what do you think happens when their boyfriend or girlfriend's like, hey, you want to go out to dinner? And they know in their gut they can't afford it. They say yes, because they're so used to saying yes. And then they put that dinner on a credit card, if that makes sense.
Totally. Totally. I mean, and that's a really good example, like brunch and dinner, because maybe something that's important to you is spending time outside with your friends, mm-hmm. but not spending that money on lunch. So I guess you have to coordinate other kinds of events too. Brunch isn't the only way you can see your friends.
Exactly, exactly. And I think too, normalizing, this is the biggest thing I tell my clients all the time, normalizing saying no when you can't afford to do the things that you can't afford to do. Because 10, I'm going to exaggerate this, but 10 times out of 10, the girl who's asking you to do it or the guy who's asking you to do it can't afford it either. And so the second you give them an out, they're like, oh yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, and so it's normalizing that conversation, normalizing like not everyone's a millionaire that needs to do everything all at once, but we see the societal pressure all the time to say yes, to do everything, to have the nicest cars and the nicest everything. And it's like 9 times out of 10, they can't afford it either.
So I think it would be so fun to like with your girlfriends plan a girls' night at your house or something. Mm-hmm. and like have a conversation about it. Be like, ladies, you know, we don't talk about this ever, but I want to bring like money on the table. How do you budget? What do you actually want to spend money on? How can we like spend time together and not spend money? Because I don't like saying things like I can't afford that, because that just puts you in a scarcity mindset. I want to say like, I don't want to spend money on that right now. Like I would, or some other way, like I would rather spend my money doing something else. Like that's not a priority for me right now.
Yeah, totally. And I will say too, like, this is one thing, like, since me taking on my own financial journey, I've definitely gotten a way more like vulnerable with where money's going and what I can afford to do and what I can't. And I will say, the girlfriends that I have in Northern California, there is not one of us, not one of us that can't say, I can't afford this. Like, we're going to Vegas to go see Shania Twain. And like, the conversation was so, how much do we want to spend on the hotel room? How much are the flights? Do we want to take these days off? Do we want to do this? And normalizing that is okay, and that conversation's okay. And the other thing is like normalizing what you're getting paid. This is something that I see women do all the time, is they hold what their salary is so close to their heart. And I see it into people all the time in San Francisco. When they put their number on the table though, oftentimes they do not realize how underpaid they are until all five of the other girls say what they're being paid in San Francisco. And then that one girl who thought she was being paid great now was like, shit, I need to go get another job. And so it's normalizing the fact that like, it is okay to talk about money. It is okay to want more money. It is okay to build wealth and to have a higher income, but also like coming from a place of like, let these people inspire you. Like oftentimes people have no idea what people get paid in tech in San Francisco until they come and they take their second job in tech, because now they realize what they can get paid in tech here.
Mic drop. So Shania Twain, huh?
Yeah, I'm so excited.
When is that happening?
I think in December. Yeah, December.
Man, I feel like a woman.
I know, right? I actually thought of you. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was like so much gold and juice and inspiration in this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I absolutely loved it. Thank you.
Yeah, well, have a great day and I'll talk to you soon.
Of course, of course. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.